This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 129, Simple Remedies for Bloating. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. It is a beautifully rainy day and we are moving fully into fall. I'm excited because today we're starting our fall cleanse. We have our kickoff call tonight and tomorrow our group is going to begin to embark on this exciting journey. And I know that a lot of you have reached out and wish that you could participate. Maybe the timing wasn't right or different circumstances kind of blocked your ability to join. If you're still on the fence and you kind of feel like, I really want to get in, today's your last chance. So would love to have you join us for this fall cleanse. It's important, even if you don't do a structured group cleanse, that you give yourself some time to reset. So that's why I've done these digestive episodes the last couple weeks, to give you some knowledge, some information so you can move forward. And I typically have similar digestive concerns that come up in my clients. We do occasionally have people that have, you know, major digestive disorders, but for most of us, it's a low-grade issue. It's something that might not always pop up, but there's certain foods that we can't handle or certain situations where we notice that our digestion is just not working very well. And for most of us, we're so out of touch with what's happening in our body that we don't even notice how the food's affecting us. We're just mindlessly eating things. And when I say that, I don't mean that we're eating in excess always, but we're eating without paying attention to what our body is experiencing following eating. So I'll be sharing in the future some really great exercises that we can do to get better in touch with how our body is responding and reacting to food. Because when someone looks at an herb and it tells them that this herb is going to be heating, well, how do we know that? How did the ancient rishis know this? There are thousands of different herbs and thousands of different symptoms or digestive diseases or issues our bodies can have. So how did they ever figure out what herb was right for them or what herb could work with certain disorders? That's something that was always baffling to me. And I would read these herb books or these medicine books and think, well, how did they know that peppermint was cooling and what it did for your body? How did they know that cardamom was really good at clearing mucus? Because there's no way you can experiment with every single herb, and one person doesn't have every single issue to be able to experiment on. So it really is a personal experience. It's something that you have to personally work through and get connected with what is best for your body. Because just because someone else who is also a Pitta Dosha has had a good experience with an herb, like maybe fennel seeds really help them when they're having acid reflux, it might not be as beneficial for you. You might need something different. So it's important that we're kind of experimenting and taking care of looking at how our bodies individually are managing different herbs. And so that's something that I think is fun about cooking, is that when we take herbs that we can add into our recipes, we can immediately see reactions if we're paying attention. And I'm not always the best at this. Sometimes I'm just used to eating a certain food, so I just eat it and I'm not paying attention to what it's actually doing for my body. But I'm working on this, just like we're all working on getting more in tune and aware of what our bodies need. And it's just paying attention, listening, and giving space. One thing I think we do a disservice to ourselves is eating complicated meals. So we'll try to add a whole lot of different things into one meal, and then we don't understand how our body's responding because it could be any one of 10 different things. So it's nice if you can deconstruct your meals while you're trying to explore what's best for your digestion, and eat simpler meals with not a lot of excess spices, with not too many sauces, without the foods being mixed together. Think of the difference between going to a buffet restaurant where you're eating, you know, 15 to 20 different food items in a sitting versus being at home and eating a nice legume, maybe a grain, and a nice steamed vegetable. It's going to be much easier to determine how your body handles that than at a buffet where you just leave feeling horrible, partly because you probably ate too much, but also because the combination of food is not able to digest very well and you might have a reaction to something, but you just don't know. So simplifying. I think back to when my munchkins were small and when we introduced foods to them, we would only introduce one food item at a time and they were usually starting with something like rice cereal. If you've had kids, you understand what I'm talking about. And you'd mix up that gloppy flaked rice with water, and it would make kind of this paste, literally, and it kind of became glue if it got in their hair or on the wall or something. And then you would feed this to them, and that was the most gentle thing first for their stomach. So rice tends to be the most gentle. And then we get more complex, and we start to look at, okay, carrots. We can add in carrots to their diet next. Carrots tend to digest well when they're cooked. And then they're adding in peas. And you'll notice that when you first start to introduce food to an infant, you're doing one food at a time. It's not mixed with other things. So you can see what the body's reaction is to it. So we kind of need to look at ourselves the way that we look at infants when we're trying to figure out what's going on with our digestion, and simplify the food down and really look at how did my body react to that one particular food. And usually you want to give it a couple days. So take a couple days of eating just by itself, maybe carrots, or eating just by itself a particular food that you think you might have an allergy to or might be reacting to, and see how does your body respond if for your meal you only had that food. And then kind of watch for the next hour or two, what is your body doing? So it is a little more time consuming. It does take some committed effort, but it is a really great way for us to figure out what's actually going on and have our body awareness become increased. So one of the most common digestive issues that I see in clients when they come in is they tell me that they get bloated. We're going to focus on that today because just the nature of bloating really can tell us a lot about digestion and what's happening within our bodies. So we'll talk about the different types of bloating that we might experience. And when we say bloating, it can lead to either burping or flatulence. So that gas has to be released and it's going to go up or down. So we'll look at how that kind of works and what that looks like within our body. But when we have that excess bloating, it's just a sign that there's too much air in the upper GI tract, right? Usually in the stomach area, sometimes the small intestine. And so the difference really between burping or flatulence is just the movement of the energy. If the air is in the upper intestines, it goes down, it will cause a little bit of flatulence. But if the air is more in the belly, then it tends to come up. And we could do a lot of things that cause that air to come upwards. And that might be there's impacted fecal matter. So we maybe are excessively constipated. And so the air can't move down as well. So it's going to come up. Or if we're wearing really tight clothing around the belly, that can cause the air to come up as well. From an Ayurvedic standpoint, we look at the energy movement. And Vata is our dosha that has movement. One of the sub-doshas of Vata is called Apana Vayu. And I've mentioned this before, but always good to review. So Apana Vayu is the energy that moves things down and out. It's responsible for elimination. So elimination of the bowels, urination, birth, anything that causes downward movement is Apana Vayu. Upward energy or upward movement or expression is Udana Vayu. So when we are having an issue with the air moving upwards in a burp, that's when Apana is blocked and Udana is coming up. We want the energy to be moving down. Not to say that we always want to have flatulence, because we want to heal that excess air and gas and not have either of them occurring on a regular basis. But they are both considered natural body urges in Ayurveda, something that you don't want to stifle. That doesn't mean that we want to encourage or create an addiction to like burping or flatulence, but it is something that if you know that your body's going to need to do that, that you can excuse yourself if it's not polite in company to experience those sensations and burp or have your flatulence somewhere else. So it is something that our bodies need to release that pressure, and it is very comforting. Sometimes you feel a lot better afterwards. You're like, oh, that feels so much better. I had all this gas in my belly and now it's removed and I feel like a little bit more comfort. I don't feel so tight and distended in there. Now, when we look at the air that's moving up, that burping sensation, sometimes when you burp, it might smell like the last meal you ate. So this is often the case when if you eat something that's difficult to digest, especially if it's been many, many hours since you ate that food and you're still kind of tasting that. If you burp, that's not a good sign. It just means that food's sitting in your stomach. It's fermenting. Fermentation causes gas. Gas causes bloating. Okay, so we need to make sure that the food's moving through. So the biggest cause really for all of this excess air and gas is indigestion. It's a lack of digestive strength in the body. But we, again, like we said, you don't want to stifle these. But let's talk a little bit about the three different types of air or gas that you could be experiencing, how we want to remedy these. So I'm going to give you really specific herbs that you can use for each thing, exercises or practices that will help. And then again, going back to what I mentioned before of really simplifying your diet as you're exploring what's going on in your GI tract can be super helpful. So the first and the most common, this is the one most people experience when they tell me that they are having bloating, and it's something that they typically experience the most after eating or if they eat a heavy meal. So they may wake up in the morning and their stomach is nice and flat, they don't feel any kind of gas, and they eat, and sometimes it can be anything that they eat, and it's going to cause this bloating to occur. So usually this type of bloating or gas is used due to kapha. So kapha dosha is in there, and it's causing more of a mucousy and heavy digestion. So again, it's usually after you overeat or if you eat foods that are really rich and heavy and hard to digest, things like dairy or pasta. If you have a lot of heavy meats in there, that's going to cause a problem. Oftentimes bread for people or wheat is really heavy and harder to digest. And what this does, because your body's trying to digest it and it can't, it causes a buildup of more mucus than you need. The home is the repository of mucus in the body. So that is where most of our mucus is formed. And so all this mucus is being formed in the body, and it can't digest and break down the food because that mucus acts kind of like a smothering blanket to your digestive fire or the hydrochloric acid and digestive enzymes that are coming into the stomach. So it might look like you don't have enough digestive enzymes, but it could just be that there's too much mucus going on. Okay, so when this food's sitting in there and there's too much mucus, it's going to lead to undigested food, fermentation, and it's going to trap air in the belly. Anytime bacteria gets involved and fermentation occurs, it bubbles and rises and air increases. It's like when you make something with yeast and you add that yeast to something sweet with water and then you let it sit there and ferment and it starts to bubble and it creates a gas. So that gas is being formed in your belly. I know it sounds really disgusting. Digestion is not the most fun thing to learn about, but it's the most important thing to learn about for sure. You'll also notice with this type of gas-related or bloating is that you'll feel tired after every single meal. So it doesn't always even matter what you ate. You just feel always tired after you eat and kind of lethargic and heavy. You might have a lower metabolism. You don't have the energy to exercise or move as much. And because that food is sitting there and fermenting, it's creating a lot of carbon dioxide. That carbon dioxide is what creates the gas and bloating in the GI tract. And a lot of times it's the carbohydrates that we're eating that are not digesting properly. So something you can experiment with is keeping the carbohydrates a little bit lower and eating a little more heavier proteins, not heavier proteins, but a little more proteins, and see if that changes the equation, if it decreases that amount of heaviness that you experience. But there are three different categories of healing or herbs that we can use to help with this type of indigestion. So the first one is things that will liquefy the mucus. So if you think of, you got this sticky gunk, we want to kind of smooth it out, thin it out so that it can flush through your body. And you do this with heat and hot spices. So things like cayenne and black pepper are really, really helpful. Asafoetida or hing is what it's called. That is a really classic remedy for all of this excess. And it's going to be very heat provoking. You don't need to use very much. Sometimes that can be a harder herb to find. I like to look for it just in Indian cooking stores, but those three are my favorites, really cayenne, black pepper, and asafoetida. So when you add those in, you're really going to see an increase in digestion. Another category is aromatic spices. So these are going to be things like mint, spearmint, peppermint, cardamom, lemon balm. The most important one of those, or the most characteristic one for helping with this excess heaviness and mucus, is cardamom. It is really good at drying out and destroying mucus. And it actually tastes really good. I throw it into my oatmeal in the morning, and you don't need very much, maybe like a fourth or a half of a teaspoon. It's really, really great for that. This is why peppermint tea is really helpful. So if you're having that bloating and heaviness, drinking peppermint tea can settle your stomach, or a little spearmint tea can be really, really useful. Those aromatic spices relax the muscles in the intestine. And so between drying out the mucus and relaxing the muscles, it's able to flush out and move the food through so your body can digest it better. And then the last category are bitters. So bitters are really good because they increase peristalsic action. So peristalsis is that contraction of the GI tract. So these bitters are really good because they help to push fecal matter, they help to push gas out of your body. A lot of times that we can get stagnant just because the muscularity is not functioning the way it should. So increasing that bitter taste can be really good. And these we can do more with foods even. So we can do cooked kale or arugula or endive. Bitter orange peel is one of the best herbs for stomach stagnation. That's more of a Chinese herb, but it's a really great one for that as well. And then you can also help if you have more insoluble fiber. That clears out mucus. It kind of acts like a scrubby brush and just cleans out all of the folds of the stomach that have mucus stuck in there. So having more salads, more celery, beans, things that have a lot of insoluble fiber are really going to help to move things through. Okay, so that's our first type. The most common, this is what most people experience when they come in and say, I'm having indigestion and bloating after I eat, is that this is their problem, is the kapha type. And you'll notice all of these remedies are things that balance out kapha dosha. If you look at the qualities of kapha, the heaviness, the sticky, stagnant, that mucus formation, all of these things that we're bringing in will help to move those through. A couple other things that can be really helpful here as well are a lot of movement. So if we can bring in more movement to the body, more movement through exercise, through yoga, a little bit of twisting through the abdominals, that will help to stimulate some of that digestive movement and help the mucus to clear. And a lot of breathing exercises are good too. For kapha specifically, we like to look at Kapalabhati breath or shining skull. And so you can look up that online and just kind of get tutorials about how to do that one. But it's a really good, fast, vigorous breath that helps to clear mucus from the lungs and from the belly. So the second type of gas or bloating that we look at is really due to not having enough enzymes or digestive fire. So when we don't have enough enzymes, this is really more the vata type. And when they're insufficient, again, the food sits there and stagnates, but for a very different reason, right? Kapha type, it's stagnating because there's too much mucus. Vata type, it's stagnating because there's not enough digestive enzymes. There's not enough to actually break it down. So the food stagnates, it sits there, bacteria comes in, it ferments, it creates gas and bloating. So the end result feels very similar to the kapha type, but it's not the same cause. It's due to the enzymes. And so a really simple remedy that you could do immediately, you could try this if you're having issues in your belly, is to hydrate more. And specifically, about a half an hour before you eat, you want to hydrate and you want a warm water, a cup of warm water, a little bit of salt, and then you want a sour in there. So you could use lemon or lime. This is really useful because when you bring in the sour taste, it creates juiciness within the body. It actually hydrates the body. And so we want to create more moisture in the GI tract, more moisture in the stomach, because as we know, vata is very dry. And so when we have those dryness with the insufficient enzymes, we can't break down our food. So having extra hydration, making sure you're getting plenty of fluids in is also really useful. Something else really simple is avoiding cold foods and drinks. So if you tend towards this air in your belly after eating, and you're noticing that when you eat something cold or you drink ice cold water or anything that has like carbonation in it that's cold and you're causing more bloating, then that's a good sign that you have vata going on. So in those cases, you want to definitely go with warm foods, warm drinks, because that cold will really contract the digestive tract, which causes the air to want to escape, usually through the mouth in a burp. If you have insufficient enzymes, you also want to stick with foods that are easier to digest. So foods like rice, like we said, carrots, things that really can break down easily, brothy type foods would be good. Think of like chicken noodle soup. There's a reason people eat that when they're sick. It's very helpful for that. And stay away from foods that are hard to digest. Things like beans and cabbage, broccoli, which we know all three of those tend to give more gas, right? They're more gas promoting. If you're going to have beans, go with more of a mung bean, like a very small bean, and avoid heavy foods like wheat and dairy. So you notice that's similar with kapha. We want them to avoid heavy foods as well, but the reason behind it is very different. So now we've gone through our kapha type, which is really due to excess, too much food, too much mucus, and vata type, which is really due to insufficient enzymes and dryness within the GI tract. The third type is what we consider our pitta type. And this is coming from more of intense emotions and inflammation. So you can think of pitta type is intensity and inflammation. If you're experiencing shock or rage or anger or extreme criticism or judgment, but they're like intense, right? That fiery, heated emotion, that can cause a hot burning feeling in your stomach. Have you ever been in a situation where you've gotten so angry that you feel like visibly shaken, where your body is shaking, your voice is shaking, you feel heat in the skin? And if you'll pay attention in those moments, which unfortunately, I think all of us have experienced them at least once, but if you have a lot of pitta in your constitution, you probably experience them a little more often until you get yourself balanced. But you'll notice in your belly that it's a very hot, burning feeling. It doesn't feel good. It's not a very fun feeling to have. And this is something that we really want to turn to foods that are going to soothe the belly, calm down that inflammation. And it can help our emotions too. So if you're feeling really angry or upset, or you have inflammation, and the anger and upset can cause inflammation, right? So if you're having that happen in your body, you want things that are going to soothe it, like oatmeal is really, really soothing. It's kind of slimy and slippery, so oatmeal is good for that. Things like okra or aloe juice or coconut water, so things that are going to really help to soothe the belly. Even milk or bread can be helpful. So you'll notice that for pittas, we're saying, yeah, have some of these like more heavy soothing foods. Whereas for our kaphas, we were like, oh no, don't eat so heavy. And for vatas, we're telling you to eat foods that are easier to digest. So even though the symptom of bloating is the same, if we can get to the root of why we're having this bloating, that's where we get the treatments a little bit more custom, okay? Now we can also look at breathing. We talked about breathing for kapha dosha, but for pitta, belly breathing is really good because it's going to release the tension that you're holding within the belly muscles. And that helps the GI tract perform better and you won't have food sit there as long. So belly breathing is going to be really useful there. Now some other side reasons why you might have issues with the bloating that have nothing to do specifically with the doshas. These could be due to an infection. Infections are often attributed to pitta, but in this case, we just look at it as we've got to treat this infection so that we can move forward and have good digestion. The most common thing we see within the gut is H. pylori. So if you think that you maybe have parasites or you have an infection, it's good to go to your Western doctor and get that diagnosed. And then we can treat it through a lot of herbs that are like antimicrobials and things like Oregon grapefruit or golden seal. Vedanga or neem are really good oils, and then herbs. And if you have anti-inflammatory needs, like if you're really inflamed due to these infections, you can do a lot with raspberry leaf, shatavari, and amalaki. But again, if you're having experience with like parasites or something that's really major, it's good to go to a Western doctor, get treatment for that. And we can do a lot with Ayurveda, but it's really nice with some of those more severe things to do those in conjunction with a physician as well. So sometimes we also could have problems with the lower esophageal sphincter. Okay, so that's where the esophagus meets up with the stomach, and you could have a hiatal hernia, you could have a tear in the diaphragm, and what happens there often is you start getting acid reflux coming up with your burps, and that's no fun, right? So really discomfort. We can talk a lot more about that, but acid reflux has a huge correlation to what we're speaking about here as well. A lot of the same causes create acid reflux as well. So for those, what's really interesting, you could actually go to a chiropractor if you're having a leaky valve in that lower esophageal sphincter. And sometimes you just need to have an adjustment that will help to line things up more properly because it might just be a little kinked. So that might be something to explore. And having really good posture can help with these as well. If you're slumped over, it's putting pressure in certain places that can cause more of that issue with that valve. So really when we look at the bottom line issue with this bloating, why we're having this bloating, we want to look first at the cause and which dosha we think is more involved. Is it more because we have overwhelmed the stomach and now we have too much mucus, or we just are normally naturally forming too much mucus because we have a lot of excess kapha in our constitution or within our vikruti? So we're experiencing it right now due to diet and lifestyle. Or is it more due to dryness? Are we experiencing dryness and maybe a decrease in enzymes? Our body's not producing quite enough of the digestive enzymes. And that's where we like to have digestive herbs that we eat during our meals, those kinds of things. And then for the last one, it's more of that pitta type. Are we having intense emotions? Are we experiencing inflammation? So we want to first figure out which one it is. And it can be a little bit tricky at first because there's so many different factors involved. So you might want to listen to this a couple of times so that you can get all of the nuances of what I shared, so you can see, are you falling somewhere within that spectrum? And if it's something you're only experiencing on occasion, it's going to be likely more food related. So that's where we want to simplify the diet and really analyze which food is causing some of this. But the first thing we always want to look at is, how can we get the food to move more efficiently through the digestive tract? We don't want it sitting and stagnating, because the stagnation is what is creating a lot of that excess gas through fermentation and causing the bloating. So we want the food to move through. That's where we want to get all of those nice herbs. Remember, we talked about the three kinds of herbs you can use with the kapha type that are really, really useful. So the liquefying herbs that are heating, aromatic spices like the mints, and then the bitter herbs to help to move things out of the body. And then if we're dealing with a vata type, make sure we're getting hydration, plenty of hydration. This is going to be good for all three kinds. Just get plenty of hydration in there is really useful. And another option would be laxatives. So I don't mean over-the-counter drugstore laxatives. I mean herbal, safe laxatives. The one that I most highly recommend is Triphala. So if you are having bloating within your GI tract, Triphala would be a good addition to your daily regime. You can take it at night, 1 teaspoon mixed in a cup of room temperature water, and drink that down. Very, very helpful for getting the GI tract moving smoothly. You'll notice a improvement pretty quickly. If you've been dealing with these issues for a long time, we may increase your dosage. And so that's something that you can safely go up to 6 teaspoons at a time, but you would want to work with a practitioner to kind of adjust how much and how often and those kinds of things. But Triphala is a really fantastic herb. You can do lots of good research and learn about that. I actually have a podcast episode about that one as well. Yoga is a really good way to really help the body to move the digestion and the excess air more efficiently. So moving your body every day through something like yoga, doing your belly breathing, and I really like massaging the GI tract. So it's something I recommend to my clients, especially while we're doing our cleanse, is to work with the belly and do massage. But it's also something you could do every day. Just do it clockwise, moving from the lower part of the belly up the right side, underneath the ribs, down the left side, and back to the center. So you're really helping to move and get the GI tract stimulated so that the food can process and not stagnate. When we look at overall what's causing our health, we know after especially these three last few episodes that it is our digestion. It's how you are processing your food. And we want you to be able to really be healthy and have a good experience with your meals and start to be able to choose foods that are proper for you. So start having some more pauses between your meals and your next activity. See how the food's affecting you. Eat with a little more intention. Following those guidelines for healthy eating, they really, really do help. So I hope this was useful information, that you learned a lot about why you might be experiencing bloating and why you might be experiencing excess gas, whether it's coming up or down, and that we can work to really balance that out. I hope that you have a beautiful week, that you do something that is meaningful to you and that contributes to the world. I'll talk to you next week. Namaste. Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at AyurvedaLifeSchool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.